Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanest Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording. If you would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leanestlifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. And now, on to the recording. Today we're talking with Jed Walrath. And Jed, how you doing today?
Good.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of who are you, a little bit about your family, what you do, and then give us some of those, you know, vitals, height, weight, age, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm Jed Walrath. I'm 44 years old, been married for 23 years to a wonderful wife and have five children. Been working for Ken Nelson Auto Group for 7 years. As a salesperson and inventory manager. 5'9". What else you want to know?
So you're 5'9 right now, and you're 44.
Right.
Been working for Ken Nelson's for, did you say about 7 years?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Five kids and married for 23 years.
Yep.
You've got a lot going on. No worry about it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, when did you find the Leanest Lifestyle and Lifestyle at Work program?
Well, Rick Correa, the owner, brought that to us, about 6 months ago. We started with it, and we've been using it here ever since.
Okay. Well, what's your history like with weight, Jed? Were you thin as a kid? When did you first notice that your weight was at a point where you were unsatisfied with it?
Well, when I graduated high school, I was probably between 215, 220, somewhere in that neighborhood. Pretty good condition. You know, I had been in sports and marching band and stuff, so did a lot of activity. But from there on, then, you know, gradually, just over time, put more and more weight on and got up to where it was becoming really unhealthy, up to about 287, I think, was the highest that I got to.
When was that?
Probably about a year and a half ago was the maximum weight I was at.
So you were 42 at that time?
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
Well, when you graduated high school, you say you're 5'9", right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5'9", 215, 220 would, even then, at 18 years of age, would put you very much so in the overweight category, unless you had, like, tons of muscle or whatever.
Right.
And with that being the case, I don't hear in your tone that when you graduated high school that you were unsatisfied with that weight.
No. Like I said, I was pretty active, had a pretty athletic build, so probably a little bit more muscle mass than some people would at that weight. But wasn't unhappy with that, and, you know, like I said, just over the years, you know, gradually just kept going up in weight.
Well, it does kind of sound, too, that you really didn't have a bunch of attempts at weight loss prior to, you know, your being somewhere in the 42 years of age range. At least it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like the weight just crept up, kept going up and up and up, and then finally, when you were 42, you finally said, this is ridiculous, or what happened?
Well, I had been, about a year prior to that, I had been diagnosed as borderline diabetic. Wasn't too big a concern with my medical doctor, but we were watching it. Then a year and a half ago, I got sick and went into the doctor, and he said, well, it's directly related to your diabetes. It's gotten worse. We're probably going to have to put you on medication if you don't do something to get your weight under control.
Okay. And that's, again, right about, you were 41, 42 at that time.
Right.
So how did that strike you when he said that?
You know, it was something that really, you know, caught my attention, and that it was something I had to do something about. You know, we had to make a real attempt at trying to do something to reduce the weight, or I was going to have to go on oral medication.
Okay. Got it. Well, what did you weigh when you first found the Leanest Lifestyle or Lifestyle at Work program?
Right around 230.
Around 230. So you had dropped about 50 pounds.
Correct.
And had you had held that weight off too, I believe.
Yes.
From our previous conversations.
Right.
And we'll get into it a little bit, but I know that you had done it primarily through a really nutritious, lots of vegetables, whole foods, very few grains, you know, type of program.
Right.
Which is not unlike just an exceptionally clean, leanness lifestyle program. And you and I have talked about it. It's not so much that it's a low-carb Atkins approach. I think it's just more of a super clean eating, more of a what we call an evolutionary or almost a Paleolithic approach, just natural whole foods. But we'll talk about that in a second. So,
okay.
So you started about 230. You'd already dropped about 50 pounds. And what do you weigh today?
202 today.
So 202. So you're down about 28, almost 30 pounds, somewhere in that range.
That's right.
Do you know how your body fat changed at all?
I really don't. Other than the composition and sizing and things like that I've noticed a big drop in that. But as far as actual measurement of that, I don't know what it's changed to.
No problem. Well, from what you told me then, you're lighter now than you were when you graduated high school.
That is correct.
And how do you feel at this weight?
Oh, much better, much better. A lot more energy, able to do a lot more things physically without having problems at the higher weights. I think there was a lot of back problems that I had that I don't have anymore, so that's alleviated some of those things.
How about, we'll cover this in a minute. During your transformation, all the way from 280 to where you are, and definitely from the 230 on, but just through the process, what was harder than you thought it would be?
Well, I think at first, when you give up some of the things that you're used to eating all the time and the habits that you get into, especially when you work the schedule that we work, where sometimes we're here, as much as 12, 13, 14 hours a day, you've got to change when you eat, what you eat, and try to stay away from those things that you were used to doing.
Right.
So that's probably the hardest thing was getting into that.
Breaking those habits.
Right, right.
What was easier during the process, or what was easier in the last 30 pounds than you thought it would be?
Really, since we've been on this, and after the first few weeks of, I think, probably cleansing your body of a lot of those things that you're body was used to having, sugar and high-end carbohydrates and stuff. After that, it really has been pretty easy. We've been able to maintain that for a year and a half now, and I know a lot of people that I work with and my wife works with, because she's been on the same diet that I have and done even better than I have, but we've had other people that have asked us, well, how are you doing it? And we tell them, and we've given them what we do, and they find it really hard to stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have found it really easy to do that.
Well, that's one of the questions I want to ask then, too. You just said your wife has done even better than you. How much has she lost in the last, 15 weeks of course, in the last year as well?
In the last, since we started in May of 2003 till now, she's lost, I believe, about 115 pounds.
Which is, of course, amazing, and you don't see very many people in the world doing that without gastric bypass these
right,
days.
Right, and she gets asked that quite often.
Right.
Well, did you have the surgery? And she's like, no, we've done it all on just changing our diet.
Was that saying, the old-fashioned way, you've earned it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how has she done in the last 3 or 4 months? Has she also lost, or did she kind of hold steady?
She's lost a little bit more, but I think both of us have been pretty much at the same pace for the last few months, where it's probably averaging a weight loss of a week of a pound a week or 2 pounds a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you say, with having 5 kids, I'm sure at quite a variety of ages.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's affected your wife, or between the two of you. I don't know if she impacted you more or you impacted her more, but I know that there's some synergy there. How has this impacted your family with regard to your kids and being a role model and just anything at all?
Well, our oldest son, who is 23 now, has a large build. He's 6'4", He had gotten quite heavy, probably in the upper 300s. After we had been on the diet for probably 4 or 5 months, he started to go on the diet also, and he is down to 265, so he's probably lost 100 pounds also in the last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone else? How do you feel about the younger kids watching what you're doing?
They, you know, I think with some of them, a couple of them don't have any weight problem. They're very lean, very muscular. The two younger boys don't have that problem. But I think some of their eating habits have changed a little bit in that, you know, we have vegetables all the time, and they eat more vegetables than what they did in the past. They eat more fruit than what they did in the past. You know, I think it's we still make meals that they can eat, you know, that we were eating before, but for ourselves, we just don't have the potatoes, the starches, the flour, the sugar, but they still have that. You know, they're younger, their metabolism's a lot different.
Now, you've used the word diet several times in this talk, and of course, I always stress, don't say diet, say lifestyle. What is it that you see as the difference between you using the word diet and me saying get out of that mentality, use the word lifestyle and make it a lifestyle? Why do you use the word diet?
A lot of times when I'm talking to people about what we've done, you know, we do use that terminology that this is our lifestyle now, this is the way we eat now. We're not on a diet, but, you know, this is a lifestyle that we've chosen and that we're going to stay with. And then that's the way we look at it. You know, we're not dieting. This is a lifestyle that we're going to eat this way for the rest of our lives.
Okay. Did you have any? I mean, was it all a bed of roses in the last 15 weeks or a year? Did life throw its typical, you know, slew of curveballs at you that could have easily, you know, tipped your boat over had you not had, you know, some focus and commitment to this?
Well, you know, I think there's always those things that come up that. You know, when you get a little bit frustrated or you know, have a few rocky spots in there that you start looking for comfort foods and that. We haven't found that to be the case. My wife, I think in the past, that was something that she felt that she had a big problem with, you know, when things weren't going good for one reason or another. You know, she would look for those things, for chocolate or
right.
or snacks or something, and get into that mentality and eat those things a lot more. Really, for us in the last year and a half that we've been in the lifestyle, you know, it hasn't been a major problem for us. We were very committed to it from the beginning for health reasons and knowing that we needed to improve our health. And I think that's helped us keep the focus on there. You know, we go to, you know, having large families on both sides, there's a lot of birthday parties, there's a lot of graduations, get-togethers, with a lot of temptation there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have really been able to stay away from that.
You don't stay away from the events, you stay away from the gorging.
Correct. We stay away from eating the things that we know we don't want to eat.
Right.
And get back into the habit of doing that.
How have you handled the food pushers? You know, especially since when you first started, I'm sure they thought that this was just a passing fad that would end and you'd be back to eating their, you know, gluttonous portions soon enough. How did you handle those food pushers, and how do you handle all those family events and birthdays and whatnot? Do you have cake? Do you say no to cake? What do you say to them when they say, oh, come on, have a piece, it's not going to kill you?
We just politely decline and say, you know, that's just something that we don't eat anymore. You know, you always have, I mean, you know, in any work situations, people are bringing in food and snacks. And in the beginning, you're like, well, you know, don't worry, it won't hurt you to have one. And we just stayed very committed to what we were doing. And if we were going to a function that we knew there weren't going to be a lot of choices for us, we'd maybe bring our own. You know, bring some vegetables or bring our own fruit, you know, so that we would have something to enjoy eating while everybody else was eating the cake and the ice cream or the pies and the cookies and cakes, even at Thanksgiving and Christmas and things like that. We would prepare some of our own stuff, our own rice, our own potatoes, sweet potatoes we do have occasionally. We would bring that stuff with us and just eat that. as time went on and people realized that we were in it, especially at family get-togethers, then there would be more things prepared like that. And I think that's something that if you're going to a function that you know the hosts very well, you just ask them, what's going to be there, and, can there be some things there that we can eat? Or, we got to the point where we went to one graduation for my niece, and my brother and his wife, they were having sandwiches. They left us the meat to eat instead of put it on the buns to have, so that we could eat that stuff without having to, take it off the buns and throw those away. I think people kind of learned that once we were on that and how committed we were, that it wasn't as much of a problem.
You make an excellent point, and it's something that I stress over and over. When you show that commitment long enough, you make believers out of those who really doubted you in the beginning. And when they finally do believe, and they finally do know that they're not going to change you, and all the food pushing in the world isn't going to help or work or whatever, and trying to get you to join along and be too heavy, obese, gluttonous like they are isn't going to work, they eventually really begin to respect the decision you've made. They respect the fact that you're at a healthy weight. And, I've seen this even in my own life, where they actually begin to support what you're doing. And that's exactly the transition that I'm, from what I'm hearing from you, that you've noticed, instead of, pushing it and kind of doubtingly believing you would stick with it. Now they're like, hey, this is just what he does. It's what they do, and we don't want to make them feel, like an outcast. So let's go along with it.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think that, that especially within in the family get-togethers on both sides of our family, that's the way it's been. They've realized that's the way we eat, and these are the types of foods that we eat. And when we go for dinner, we have a lot of fruit there. We have salads. We have a lot more choices than what we had in the very beginning.
Right. Well, and I want to say, too, that a lot of people in the beginning think that just because they've begun a program and they're 2 weeks into it, they expect a lot of their family and friends and coworkers and whatnot to do what your family, friends, and coworkers are doing now that you've been doing a lean program for a year and a half. And it just doesn't work that way. Remember, in the beginning, people are very doubting that you're going to stick with it.
Right.
They no more believe you're going to stick with it than the man on the moon. So you can't expect them to just jump on board with you, show you 100% support, and not push food toward you. People have that mistaken belief that, people should support their newfound, desire to change. But, the funny thing is that most people are right. Most people won't stick with it. But you've actually begun to reap the benefits of that long-term commitment, and you've made believers out of those people, and now they're showing you that support that a lot of people think they're going to get in the first 2 weeks, but they're not.
Right.
So it's really important that that's brought out. Well, tell us, Jed, if you would, what's a typical day? A typical, not perfect, not bad. What's a typical food day like for you? Start us in the morning. Take us through every meal.
Well, every morning I have breakfast. Usually consists of eggs, some type of meat, and the whole grain bread that we have. We have two slices a day, and I usually have that as toast in the morning. Then
is it whole eggs? Is it pork?
It's whole eggs, and usually pork, either bacon or ham. Sausage that doesn't have a lot of dextrose or MSG or anything in it, usually two or three whole eggs. But I think that breakfast is probably the most important thing, because it jumpstarts your metabolism a little bit, gets you going in the morning, and then you don't have the tendencies to, once I'm at work, especially, then you don't have the tendencies to be hungry 2 hours into it, that you feel that you need to go to the candy machine and get a snack or run down and have that, some type of snack. Although, I then, make sure that I always have some fruit at work, We do have a couple of kinds of raw nuts that we eat, raw cashews and raw Brazil nuts. So I always have some of those. It was stressed to me that the importance of eating every couple of hours in order to maintain, keep your metabolism burning, and the way it was explained to me was it's like a campfire. You got to feed it every so often just to keep it burning. And so I would make sure that I had a little bit of a snack, either a piece of fruit or some of the nuts, probably somewhere around 10:30, 11 o'clock. Then I would have lunch, and that usually consisted of some type of salad with an oil and vinegar dressing, some kind of chef salad that had meat, cheese. Sometimes I would have, just a meat and cottage cheese and a salad, something like that. And then again in the afternoon, typically, some type of fruit or some more nuts. And then sometimes I work until 8 o'clock, so, dinner was a little bit later. And then we would have dinner, and then maybe, right before we went to bed, a piece of fruit for a snack.
What's dinner?
Dinner would consist of meat and vegetables, usually.
Any kind of meat?
Yeah, pretty much any kind of meat. A lot of chicken, turkey, lean roast beef, steak, and then usually a vegetable, sometimes two vegetables. Sometimes we do have rice. We do have, we do occasionally eat whole grain brown rice, which we actually toast in a pan before we boil it and cook it like you normally do.
Well, one of the things I want to point out is that, Jed, you obviously eat a much higher fat content than what the leanest lifestyle typically suggests. However, one of the absolute foundational principles for getting lean is that we don't want to combine typically and frequently high carb with high fat. And what you've done is by having that higher fat breakfast, you're able to get away with that by having the whole eggs and the meat, something that I wouldn't ordinarily suggest. You're able to get away with that because the carb intake is relatively low. Now, it's not ketogenic low, it's not Atkins low, but it's relatively low. And throughout the day, when you're having high-fat nuts and you're having a high-fat meat at dinner, you're still keeping the carbs typically, unless you're having a huge serving of the brown rice, you're keeping the carbs relatively low. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
And what happens is, even though you're having a little bit more fat, by having the carbohydrates low, you're not getting a big insulin release, and therefore you're not getting a big shuttle of those dietary fats into stored fat. And then overall, of course, the bottom line is the number of calories that you're consuming, even though you have a much higher fat intake than what I would typically like to see. I'm a big results guy. Look, results matter. You went from 230 to 200. You went from 280 to 200 in a year and a half or whatever.
Right.
So results do matter. And when I look at the types of foods you're eating, while they don't fit the leanest lifestyle to a T, there's a lot of similarity there, with the exception of the higher fat intake.
Right.
I recommend a lot of vegetables. I recommend a lot of whole foods. You've got all that covered. I have no problem with vinegar and oil dressing. And so you do so many of the things right that even though, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to interview you, even though there's variance, and even though it's not just straight out leanest lifestyle, it's important that people understand that you get to have a little bit more fat because you truly are getting your carbohydrates from those whole sources that aren't really, really high in blood sugar increasing carbs.
Correct.
And I know you're very, very aware of that, and you're
right.
Very careful about that. And that's why you're able to do it, and that's one of the reasons that you've had this great success. There's no question about it. Anything you want to add about that?
Well, when we first started, you spent a lot of time in the grocery store and looking at labels and what you can and what you can't have, and we found out early on, I think a lot of people when they hear low carb lifestyle, when they hear low carb diet, they're typically thinking Atkins or South Beach, and there's a lot of product out there that, you know, is supposedly low carb. But we looked at, we wanted to go with more fresh, raw ingredients. And as we went through and learned what was out there and what to look for, you know, we ended up just basically buying mostly fresh ingredients and preparing everything from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
We very rarely have anything that's pre-made mm-hmm. or packaged foods, and I think that makes a big difference. And I think, you know, we were kind of surprised at some of the things that we were able to find that we liked that maybe we didn't think, you know, different types of squash, different types of fruit, you know, things that we hadn't been eating in the past. And we're like, you know what, prepared the way we do it, you know, that tastes pretty good. And so a lot of the thing, you know, it's a little more time consuming. It may be a little bit more expensive, but the benefits are certainly worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. Great point. Well, let's talk about activity a bit. What do you do for activity? What's a typical week like or day like?
That's probably the one thing that I'm not doing as much as what I should be. And I keep, my wife and I have done this together, and we've talked about what we want to do as far as getting a little bit more physical activity, and it's something that we want to do together. Our biggest problem is we kind of work different work schedules, so it's been a little bit more difficult for us to try to figure out exactly a time to let's get up and do this and go do it together. Here at work, you know, obviously being a salesperson, everybody thinks, well, you're just sitting behind a desk and talking to people and that. But, you know, we have a fairly good-sized lot here, and I spend a lot of time walking back and forth around the lot, looking at vehicles, checking my inventory, getting cars. So I probably get at least, you know, 30 minutes to an hour a day of walking time in. Try to do a little bit extra when I have time, maybe just walking around the building, you know, getting a little bit of extra exercise in that way. But that's pretty much what it's been limited to. Occasionally, you know, I get out to swim a little bit. Our in-laws have an in-ground pool, so occasionally we spend a little bit of time in the pool. I very rarely, but sometimes get to play a little bit of golf.
Well, you know, it always kind of amazes me that just, you know, how much influence the nutritional side of things will impact overall weight loss. I mean, I usually say that, with rare exception, you know, the nutritional side of things is, oh, it depends on the person and whether you're male or female, but I'm just going to say that generally it's 60 to 80% of the equation. And you're just, you know, proof that is true, and that your activity is relatively minimal except for what you get at work.
Right.
Yet you've still been incredibly successful. And your wife, it sounds like, has been about the same, and other than what incidental activity she gets from, you know, doing stuff around the house and running kids here and there and work and whatever she does, it sounds like she's about the same, yet she's lost 115 pounds.
Correct.
So you're looking at, it's truly incredibly important, it can't be overstated, what the nutritional side of the equation really means. And so often I get people who, to be honest, Jed, do a lot more activity than you, and their activity side is really stellar. I mean, it's awesome. They either run or they walk frequently or they lift weights or do a combo of everything, yet their nutritional component is so, you know, horrendous. They don't see any weight loss, and typically will still see weight gain. So you're right. You know, sure, we'd like to see a little bit more activity, but again, I'm results oriented. Your results speak much louder, you know, than than, you know, we could, all the conjecture that we'd want to drum up about what you're not doing enough of.
Right.
So you know, with that said, let's continue on here. And do you ever have favorite foods or past favorite foods, or, you know, do you ever, when you get a craving for anything, do you ever satisfy it?
Since we started this, when we were at the very beginning, probably for the first 6, even 8 months, I myself personally, after that point, you know, started looking at something and saying, well, you know, maybe I could have a little bit of this, or I could have a little bit of that. But because my wife had tried so many times to lose weight and put weight back on and gone through several other diets and they hadn't worked and this one had really worked. So she had actually convinced herself that she could not eat any of those comfort foods that she liked, any favorite foods that she liked, ice cream, cake, cookies, things like that. Mm-hmm. And we really stayed away from those. When we got the urge to have something like that, we would go grab a piece of fruit.
Okay. Do you still do that now then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really don't have, you don't roll through Dairy Queen and get a small blizzard. You don't.
I haven't had a sweet of any kind, a dessert of any kind, with a very, very, I shouldn't say it's never, because I probably have picked up a crumb of this or a very tiny small piece of a cookie or or something like that. My wife, on the other hand, absolutely has not touched any of that stuff. But no, we haven't allowed ourselves to do that. We really are thinking that when we get down to where we want to be at and we do finally get into an exercise program, then we may be able to allow ourselves a treat once in a while. But we don't want to return to where we were at, and so we've pretty much stayed away from trying to get back into that habit.
Well, one of the things I want to mention is I think one of the reasons you've had such great success is by eliminating, I think that you'd agree that just like with whether it's smoking, drinking, you know, or anything else where there's a potential addiction issue, I think that you'd agree that probably both you and your wife had addiction issues with food up until a year and a half ago.
Very much so. Prior to being in the car business, I had been in the food service industry, so food was a big thing with me. I wouldn't say I was so much addicted to sweets and cookies and things, but good food and eating a lot of, you know, big meals and things like that. I think she had a little bit more addiction to food for other reasons, more emotional reasons than what I had, and it was a little bit more difficult for her. But it was her strong commitment to not have any of those or not allow ourselves to have those once in a while that kept me from deviating from the lifestyle that we went into.
Well, my only point with the bringing up the addiction issue is there's quite a continuum of addiction. I think we all know, you know, the raging alcoholic, and then we also know the person who just simply consumes too much and is more a borderline alcoholic, but nonetheless is still an alcoholic. And so with food, it's the same thing. And then we all know smokers who they smoke three packs a day, and we know smokers who are addicted who do one pack a day.
Mm-hmm.
So with people who are addicted to food, and it's just as common as alcohol or smoking or anything else, there's quite a continuum. And perhaps your wife was a little bit more addicted than you, but I also want to say, too, Jed, that it's very, very common for people that are addicted to food to be in the food industry.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So whether they're in a grocery store or a restaurant, or they're usually typically around food, it's just very, very common. So one of the things, the only reason I bring this up is this, because it helps a lot of people kind of get an understanding. One of the things that's happened by you just basically, and your wife, eliminating those quote-unquote comfort food treats, I call those trigger foods for the addict. And trigger food for an addict is like crack cocaine is to the cocaine addict.
Sure.
If you're a cocaine addict, can you have just a little and be okay? No. If you're an alcoholic, can you have a beer and be okay? No. If you're addicted to nicotine, which just about everybody who's smoked longer than 3 weeks is, can you have a cigarette and be okay? No. So when you're an addict, the only solution for the addict typically is 100% abstention from those things that create and feed the addiction. One of the things that's happened, whether you realize it or not, but I want to bring it out in this interview because it's so important, is that by you abstaining, and your wife especially being so strong in abstaining from those trigger addiction type foods, is you've eliminated the addictive substance from the equation. And by doing so, and you said, I think, a couple of times now, it wasn't as hard for you to as it is for others. Well, one of the things that others do is they want to have it all. They want to play both sides of the fence. I'm going to eat clean most of the time, but even though I don't realize I'm addicted to ice cream, I'm still going to have, you know, a pint of ice cream on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with that is it feeds the addiction. The addiction says, the addiction is just ruthless, as you know, with any addiction. It says, have another, have more. They binge for 3 or 4 days, and before you know it, they're completely off the program. Addiction is nasty. by you eliminating what I call trigger foods, by you eliminating those addictive substances, it has made it easier for you. And be there, no mistake, for you and your wife, Jed, by you doing that, you stand a much better chance, as long as you do it, of being successful. And there's no telling, even if it's been a year and a half of success, what could happen if you began introducing those foods back in that are addictive to you and her and that are trigger foods.
Right, and that's why we haven't done it. I mean, that's why we've stayed away from tempting ourselves at all by saying, okay, it's our child's birthday, we can have, you know, a small piece of cake, or it's Christmas time, Thanksgiving, we can have a little piece of pie or something like that. And, you know, I think every individual has to be, you know, judge themselves on how strong they can be. But you're right, if that's what worries us the most, is if we just let ourselves do that, you know, for an occasional treat, you know, how long is it going to be before we're back in the old habits? And that's something that we don't want to get back into. The significant weight loss that we've had and the way we feel about ourselves and about each other as far as the way we look, we don't want to go back to the way we looked before.
Right.
And so we're going to totally stay on this lifestyle, you know, for the rest of our lives.
Did it ring with you prior to this talk today that, you know, the issue with regard to the addiction and trigger foods, or did you just more think of it along the lines of, I'm just afraid to eat those foods because I don't want to go back to that?
No, your talk brought that up a little bit and made me understand that, you know, even though you might not think you're addicted to food like I did, and I think my wife probably realized that she was, but
right,
maybe I didn't,
mm-hmm. But
yeah, that is a reason, you know, that you, you know, don't want to go back into that lifestyle because, you know, like with any addiction, like you said, once you start back down that road, you're going to fall right back into it.
Right. It's just the hardest thing for people to understand is that food is no different than nicotine, alcohol, or crack cocaine. A little bit on certain foods is going to be too much.
Right.
It's just one is too much. Now, I want to stress that what Jed is doing, again, is not the typical norm for a leanist lifestyle. I mean, for example, many, many people do have birthday cake on their kid's birthday, on their own birthday. They have a piece of pie when it's, you know, Halloween and, you know, it's this occasion, that occasion. They have treats. They can have the snack. The important thing to distinguish whether a food is just a treat or whether it's a trigger food is what happens after you eat it. What happens? Do you crave more of it? Do you find that, you know, 2-3 days later, you've got these just insatiable cravings for junk? Do you find that once you, you know, start to eat, you know, a bag of chips, you just can't stop?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of foods that I call trigger foods. Those are the problematic foods, and those are foods that you're probably just going to have to do without for the rest of your life, but it only leaves you like 50,000 other foods to eat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So for you, Jed, you've taken the real strong, strict, you know, approach to it, which is the safest. But there are going to be many others, like I said, there's a whole continuum of food addiction out there. There's going to be many, many others that are going to get to have that piece of cake, and they're going to do just fine.
Right.
They're going to be able to bring that in some kind of balanced way. I mean, I myself am able to do that. I can have pizza and not overeat it for the next 3 weeks.
Right.
Or want to eat, you know, 17 cookies, mm-hmm, after I have it. But there are other people who find their trigger foods and really find that, although they didn't know it was called a trigger food, they didn't know that food is an addiction just like everything else. They just know that after they ate it, they wanted more.
Right.
And they didn't know why.
And I think that, you know, again, you have to find that out for yourself.
Yes.
You know, what you can do and what you can't do. And
right,
like I said, you need to recognize that trigger if that's going to make you crave more. And you know, hopefully you can catch yourself right away and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go back into that. And do that. And at some point, you know, we probably will allow some certain things back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've added some things as we went along. We've added a little bit more carbohydrates in terms of beans into some of the foods that we had, like chili and things like that. You know, the rice, the sweet potatoes, which we didn't have in the very beginning. You know, and those are kind of our treats now, the sweet potatoes, certain, mm-hmm, fruits and things like that we didn't have before.
Absolutely. Well, when you were 280, what size pants were you wearing?
Hold on just one second.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
It was, I was up to a size 44 waist on pants.
And what are you now?
I'm very, very close to a 36.
That's awesome.
I'm still 38, but they're starting to get a little bit loose.
And your wife made it, probably won't want you to tell. But I know at 115 pounds, she's had to have lost, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, dress sizes.
Yeah, yeah. And she's working on, in fact, she made a comment this morning that she needs to get to that next step, which is a size 10.
Yeah, so, oh, that's awesome.
You know.
Well, has this allowed you, now you kind of made mention that, you know, how you feel about each other has changed some. You know, how has this impacted your life, or has it impacted your life in any way other than the obvious physical?
Well, I think that there's some things that you can enjoy a little bit more, you know, when you're not dealing with the way that you feel. I think emotionally, you know, it gives us a lot more self-confidence. You know, you like the way you look, you like the way you feel about yourself, you know, and I think that's just as important as the physical looks of, and the physical things that you're able to do more of. You know, I think that people look at you a little bit differently. You know, it's unfortunate that our society is that way, but I think that that happens. And, you know, I think those kind of changes, you know, hopefully you could take that as encouragement.
Right.
and use that as motivation. So,
how about health parameters? Where would you be, where do you think you'd be right now health-wise if you hadn't changed?
Well, obviously the diabetes was getting worse, and I probably would be on some medication, either oral medication, probably for the rest of my life for the diabetes. And now that I've dropped the weight, and the doctor has been just absolutely amazed at the weight loss and the fact that we've been able to keep it off. And
he should be amazed. You know, you're not the norm,
right? And that's exactly what he said. He said, I need to make you the example for everybody else that you can do this, because he said the majority of the people that do have a problem with diabetes, they'll lose a little bit of the weight, mm-hmm. and they may keep it off for a little bit of time, but then they put it back on.
Yeah,
and he warned me, if you put the weight back on, it's going to come back.
Absolutely.
You're never going to be rid of the diabetes, but
right.
you will have it under control as long as you can keep the weight down. You should not have, you know, any problem long term with it.
Well, it's massively significant, especially when you're looking at healthcare costs. I mean, just to treat a typical diabetic, it costs anywhere between $5,000 and $12,000 a year per person medically.
Mm-hmm.
And by you making these changes, you've all but eliminated those costs. Except for, you know, regular checkups.
Right.
You know, you're not taking medication for diabetes, right?
Right. No, I'm not.
And how about high blood pressure and cholesterol and that kind of stuff?
Nope.
Yeah, it's all
Nothing.
Clean.
Yeah.
And do you think you'd be on cholesterol blood pressure medicine, perhaps, if you hadn't changed?
My cholesterol was not terribly bad. It was right at the 200 mark. My blood pressure, I haven't had too much of a problem with that. But, you know, certainly with the weight loss, you have... you know, a lot better overall health all the way around. Less aches and pains, better sleep at night, you know, those types of things.
Absolutely. No, you know, sleep apnea, you don't need a CPAP, you know, on your face to give you oxygen to, you know, to make sure you sleep okay.
And correct.
Just the tremendous, tremendous costs involved with, you know, obesity just aren't there for you now. Well, you were successful, no doubt. That's one of the reasons I'm talking to you today. And with the Lifestyle at Work program, I know that in ways, when you were looking at what we call the NFL Daily, Nutritionally Fit Lifestyle, and you had to check those boxes. Some of the boxes you were just not able to check because your fat intake was higher than what I would typically recommend and these kinds of things. Was
right.
there any major differences as you were looking at the boxes where you went, this, you know, what I'm doing just doesn't fit, but I'll just go ahead and play this game so I can win a trip or, you know, get a prize?
No, you know, I think as I went down through those, I mean, typically... I ate breakfast every morning. I drink a lot of water.
Right.
I stay away from the packaged foods. You know, I tend to have low-fat dressings if I have a salad or things like that. I eat the vegetables. I eat the amount of food.
Right.
So it was just those few things in there that you know, did not fit the low-fat categories that I couldn't,
right,
you know, that I couldn't mark in there.
And it obviously didn't keep you from being successful, and that's, hopefully we've brought that out in this interview, that, you know, your changes to it still work. And I want to stress that, again, that one of the reasons that's worked is because, one, he didn't bring back in trigger foods and feed the addiction. Two, when he had his higher fat, like the whole eggs and the meat breakfast, he didn't have high carb along with it, like, you know, big old bowl of rice or two bowls of sugar puffs, you know, with
right,
the eggs and the meat. You know,
right,
the carbohydrates were always low, either through vegetable intake or just they were just whole grain low when the fat intake was high. Well, with the Lifestyle at Work program, you know, you were able to do, basically, you were able to check these things off and log your weight and log any activity you did, if any, all online, correct?
Correct.
How many times did I meet you in person during the last 15 weeks to hold your hand and help you get through this?
I don't think we've met in person during the whole 15 weeks. I think we met before that.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that I want to stress to anyone, you know, listening to this is I never met with you. You know, I wasn't, you know, the Oprah's trainer effect.
Right.
I had to come and hold your hand and give you a cheering session every week for you to make this work. You had an internal drive, an internal commitment, and then you used the internet program to just simply log what you did and just kind of help as a reminder to do these things on a daily basis. Would you say that for the average person who isn't maybe didn't have, you know, that year of experience prior to you know, this past 15 weeks, would you say that the online program with regard to the nutrition and the activity and the weight logging would help a person keep their focus and keep them moving in the right direction?
Oh, most definitely. You know, even though, you know, we had done that before, I think once when you make yourself log in and you visualize those things that you're doing, did I do this, did I do that, you know, what's my weight, what was my activity, you know, you not only have a great gauge for where you're at and what you're doing and what the results are, but you have that motivation every day. Well, maybe I didn't do it. I need to make sure I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those things are great on that site. And I think, you know, some of the motivational things on the website are great.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Jed, for saying all those things. I really appreciate it. Well, I'm going to leave it at this. I think the interview went great. I want to congratulate you again on doing such an awesome job in all the weight you've lost, both you and your wife. And
you.
I just want to leave it to you at this point and give you the last word. Is there any last word of advice you want to give to someone who is on the fence and trying to decide if they want to, you know, either begin again or begin their first attempt at, you know, real successful weight loss? What would you say to them?
Well, I think that you know, once you commit yourself to doing it and you see the results and you know, ours has been a slow process. It we didn't lose a significant amount of weight all at one time. But for long term, that's the way it's going to be. And once you start feeling better, once you start being more productive with your daily life, whether at work or at home or whatever, you know, those things are much more important than grab a bag of cookies or a candy bar or anything else. That, you know, you need to look at the long-term effects of the way you eat and, you know, what the benefits are of a leaner lifestyle, of a healthier lifestyle overall, and, you know, commit yourself to wanting to live longer, wanting to feel better, wanting to enjoy life more.
That's great. Well, again, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. I know that I've enjoyed it. I think that it's great that we've been able to kind of take this different angle with regard to, you know, the fat content and the types of foods that you consume and really bring into light the issue of, you know, food addiction and trigger foods and how that's, you know, impacted part of your success in that you've just simply eliminated those trigger foods and eliminated those addictive foods that were a part of your lifestyle when you were 280 pounds. So
mm-hmm.
It's been great. I really appreciate it. I know that you're going to help a lot of people that are going to listen to this in the future. And keep us posted. We'll be following you. There'll be other things to keep the program moving along at Ken Nelson's, and
okay,
we'll be in touch. So thanks so much again,
okay,
Jed, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LEannesLincoln, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nora, N as in Nora, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LEannesslifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.